Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. And that's what we're going to be discussing today, but mind power in a different way, in a different level of experience. We have a guest, Betty Kovacs, PhD, who is joining us today. Her book is titled The Miracle of Death. Yes, it's a provocative title, isn't it? A Miracle of Death? Well, we'll find out more about it. Betty, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I wanted to let my listeners know a little bit about you. You've received your PhD from the University of California, Irvine, in comparative literature and theory of symbolic language. You have studied and taught in Europe as well as in the U.S. You're a professor emerita of Pasadena City College in Pasadena, California. Now, you taught when you were there literature, writing, mythology, and symbolic language. And you did this for a number of years. You have served on the board of directors of the Jung Society of Claremont in California as chair, program chair, and consultant. Your life has been quite a fascinating one. You've been very dedicated to making people aware of things. But this book, The Miracle of Death, really stems from your personal reality and the changes in your reality. Betty, tell us how this book started to take form.
Yes, well, it, as you have said, grew out of my own personal experiences. I had studied and taught mythology most of my adult life, and of course mythology deals with the huge passages of life, birth and death and transformation. But then in my own life, I had the experiences of my mother and my only child, and then my husband being killed in three separate automobile accidents within 3 years. So I was confronted with my own experiences of death, and it was when our son died that my husband and I began to experience the most extraordinary, miraculous events with our son's consciousness after he died. And when we looked back, we remembered, and of course I had recorded it, so had my son, precognitive dreams that my son had of his death when he was 12 and then also in the last year of his life. Mm-hmm. When I looked back at my journals, I realized that for 2 years I had been dreaming of his death. Mm-hmm. He was 20 years old, and I was so amazed because I had tried to look at those symbolically and had worried about them, but then looked at them symbolically and let them go, which was a wonderful thing because that way we could live life fully and still experience the joy of being together until the events actually occurred. But my husband had been a businessman, and he too had an experience before our son's death and saw the accident, and he heard my son's voice say, "That's right, Dad, I'll be out of the house for a little while." And after his death, my husband realized that he was letting him know that he would come back. His consciousness would be here with us and help us to understand and to remember why we had come to the earth. And it was not only about our own personal experiences, it was about the experience that the earth is going through now, that it's one of the most crucial times in our entire history. And so I was confronted with the reality of things that I had been teaching, and I didn't even recognize the realities until I thought about it. I thought, that's what the myths were talking about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's very true. I think that the storytelling, the myths, as you described them, have been carried forward through the centuries for the reason of conveying wisdom in a palatable way that people will subconsciously be at ease with, because, gee, that's only a myth. Yet it sort of gives you that edge, if you are wise enough to recognize it, that helps you to prepare for the changes. Now, you went through three very dramatic ones, one right after the other. I want to take a quote out of the foreword of your book because your subject matter covers many different levels of mind, of experience, and I would say even dimension. I'm going to do the quote that you have of William James, and you said it was written 100 years ago, and for you it seems very much more relevant today than you had experienced it when you first saw it. And this is his quote: "Our normal waking consciousness, rational consciousness, as we call it, is but one special type of consciousness. Whilst all about it, parted it by the filmiest of screens, there lie potential forms of consciousness entirely different. We may go through life without suspecting their existence, but apply the requisite stimulus and at a touch. They are there in all their completeness, definite types of mentality, which probably somewhere have their field of application and adaptation. No account of the universe in its totality can be final, which leaves these other forms of consciousness quite disregarded." I want to ask you a personal question. As a professional woman, as someone that has had so much academic experience and learning, when you went through your son's death, when you went through the experience with your mother's death, and then eventually your husband's death, where did that leave you? Because you were going through particular experiences. Your husband had profound experience. I mean, all of you did. Your son, you, your husband, and we'll discuss some of that. But how did that change your thinking?
Well, living in the Western world with our rational training, even if we aren't somewhat programmed by the academic world, we are programmed by our worldview. And the worldview is that the rational mind is the only thing that really can bring us to truth. And I agree absolutely with William James, is that there can be no worldview that is in any way adequate that does not take into consideration these other dimensions of reality which we are in contact with other components of our brain, the dreaming, the mind, the visionary mind. So I knew that theoretically. I'd always disagreed with my training, but I discovered that I had been programmed, brainwashed. And so I went through a tremendous struggle. When I had the visions of and the experiences were so real, I mean, there was no question in my mind of the presence of consciousness. But when it was over, that shattered the worldview of my rational mind, which I wanted it shattered. But I had a tremendous fear that maybe it was true. There was nothing. So even though I had these experiences in the beginning, my rational mind then would come in and try to destroy it. And how could I possibly know? What was my proof? And so on. So when my husband, who had not been involved in this, once he had the experiences, he never doubted it. He was so changed. He was transformed. And he then became a real anchor for me. So it really saved my life, because I don't think I would have, it would have been so hard to live if I had really believed that everyone that I had loved so profoundly in a moment was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't believe that any longer, because I'd had the experiences of being with them. And always the larger concern, it wasn't just a concern for our grief, because that wasn't grief in the visionary world, but it was a deep and profound concern about the earth, that the earth is facing, is really a tipping point of mass extinction, unless we wake up and consider these other realities.
Mm-hmm. And I think that when your book, when someone is reading your book, you have a way of conveying what I would call the grounded expression, the grounded level of communication. But then you're not afraid to use your words to the best that they are capable of being utilized to express the experiences you went through and those of your husband. And that's why you chose the title, The Miracle of Death, because it did literally transform your thinking, and you have the quote for the definition of a miracle right in the very front of your book. It's an event that appears to contradict the known laws of science. Such events are always taking place around us, in us, and throughout this infinitely created universe. No science, however advanced, could possibly include all the laws of creativity. And that is what happened with you. You found that your world was not shriveled.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was just the opposite. It was expanded beyond your wildest expectations.
Oh, absolutely. And it helped me to realize, too, that in our culture we celebrate birth, but we run away from death because we don't really understand that it is birth into another dimension, that there is nothing but life, and that death is a birth into another dimension. And when we realize that, and it is a miracle, birth is a miracle into the physical plane, and birth is a miracle into the other dimension. Mm-hmm. And when we realize that, it frames our lives with a tremendous and profound meaning. And we realize we are here to create. We are creators, and to love, and to imagine a world the way that we know it can be.
When your son was in the hospital, you had a very powerful dream of spirit beings that were coming towards you. They were very excited. There was one right after the other. And they kept asking you questions. Are you ready? Are you ready to accept this? A miracle, a miracle. And in your dream, you said, yes, I am ready.
Mm.
But those words, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. There are so many people that we are being heard by, and there may be some who have experienced a deep grief. Maybe they have a loved one who's in the final transition phase of their life, or maybe they have lost a loved one, or they have a friend that's lost a loved one. When you went through this experience, there are some of these people who say, well, I didn't have that experience. I wasn't blessed like you were. I'm in such deep grief. I'm in such deep pain. What would you say to those people?
Well, I wrote the book so that people could read that there is that possibility for every one of us. And what I have said to people when they say to me, oh, that would never happen to me, is that we are all inheritors of this creativity. And we are wired, you might say, to experience all dimensions. It has been our worldview that has so desperately cut us off. I think the greatest barrier between ourselves and these dimensions that William James described as being right here is our belief.
Mm-hmm.
It's a belief that there is nothing. We just can't pick it up when we believe that. We cut it out. So as I've said many times to people, it is available to you. And we have to be open to subtleties of experience that we have culled out with our particular worldview focus. I hope that the book would really help people to see that that is possible for all of us. And I think it has for those who have talked to me, at least.
You talk about your husband, and he had a number of experiences. Now, this is a man that probably would have been called total left brain. That's the typical description. You know, we like to give people the right brain and left brain theory, which always tickles me because the old brain is working all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not right or left. But I understand the principle behind it. So here is a man. The death of his son, your son, was just something else. But he had, 2 weeks before your son's death, and your son's name was Pisty, and if I didn't pronounce it correctly,
Pisty is right, yeah.
Pisty, okay. So here is Pisty, and he sees the accident 2 weeks before it happened. And a lot of people would say, well, I don't believe in the precognition. I don't believe in that. Now, I've had enough experiences myself. This doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, I've talked with tens of thousands of people on the air through the years. I just know what other people have gone through. So I understand it. But for a father to see the accident, tell us about that. That was quite profound for him.
Yes, and of course, when you experience it, you don't have to believe anymore. You know it.
Absolutely. You know that you know that you know.
And, yes, well, it was so startling to him because he had the feeling that, oh, yes, that's right. It was like it was as though he was remembering, and he said to himself, oh, yes, it's almost time for you to do that. And that's when Pishti said, yes, I'll be out of the house for a little while. But it made him feel so bad, first of all, that he would be in agreement with it. He totally repressed it. He didn't even remember it until the phone call came through from the hospital. He remembered it. And I thought that he was always the calm one. And when I was telling him what the phone call was about, I just saw a tremendous change come over him. And I wondered what had happened to him, but yes, it was. He was beginning his journey at that point into a completely other mode of being and experiencing.
And his death occurred how long after your son's death?
It was about 2 years and 4 months, I think.
And he also was made aware that he was going to transition.
Yes, and once again, we took it symbolically, and he knew he was changing so much, and he said, well, I know I'm changing, I'm still changing, and so he thought the dreams of death were about that, but he said one time to me, he said, you know, the visions are so strong, I am reluctant to close my eyes, because it will come back again, and he went to his native Hungary, one day, and that morning he had another vision, and it was kind of a comforting vision. You know, just remember, everything is just as it is to be, and it is as you have chosen. Everything is fine. Don't resist anything. But again, you know, we have ways of putting those things out of our minds, and we never know with dreams and visions exactly what the level of meaning is. But It certainly was very clear to him that it was time for him to go too.
Mm-hmm. Now, there is a statement in your book by an individual called Swimmy that says, a re-education of the mind is necessary to make sense of what we have discovered. For we have discovered an omnicentric evolutionary universe, a developing reality which from the beginning is centered upon itself at each place of its existence. In this universe of ours, to be in existence is to be at the cosmic center of the complexifying whole. What a statement.
Isn't that something?
That is a powerful, powerful statement. And you bring up the author, Fred Allen Wolf, the physicist, and he said, we're experiencing the end of science as we know it. We are in a transformational process at this time, globally. It's not just one little
place, right. In
the middle of the United States somewhere in a gopher hole. It is all over, and it is happening at an incredible speed.
And it must, if we are to get through this transition, and I absolutely am convinced that we will.
Oh, I know that we will, too. No question in my mind about it. However, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
I think of, historically, and you go back a few hundred years when spiritualism started, and the information that came out from Europe regarding this, and so many people were just so absolutely, using a pun, dead set against it, with the understanding that there was that capability of communicating with loved ones. There were alternate dimensions. You have people that wrote about it in the 1800s. Well, you've had people writing about it for centuries, actually.
Yeah.
And they use a different language, depending on the time. But it should be comforting. And I'm so refreshed by what you write, because so many times people use fear. And what you have found is that there should not be fear. There
not
should
at
be
all.
Celebration.
Oh, yes. Of course, when someone we love leaves and is not a part of our physical drama that we are creating here, of course it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the kind of pain that we experience when we think there's nothingness, you know, beyond death. It's just not that kind of pain. It's a creative grief, and grief is part of the threads of life. And we can create a very deep and profound perception through our grief, because joy is the other side of that.
Tell us about Istvan's experience, your husband's experience, with the jackal healer. I found that quite an interesting name. Who are they, and what did he receive in the way of information regarding the jackal healers?
That's very interesting, and I'm working that in my next book with that energy. Well, first of all, the Anubis, the Egyptian god who has the head of the black jackal, came to me in a dream long before my son was killed. It was within the same year, and the symbolism of the jackal, it's so multi-levels, but one thing about the jackal is that he eats food after he has buried it and it has decayed, and just at the right moment he digs it up and eats it and transforms it into life within himself. And so the jackal healers, I had had experience with the jackal healers, and then my husband did too, in a very profound way, that indeed the jackal healers are the symbol for our time, because there is so much corruption, so much decay of old ways of living in the world and values, that they are decaying, and that we who will take those decayed forms into us and understand them totally can transform them, just like the jackal, into a new form, a new worldview, as is happening all over the world. And so all of us are becoming or are jackal healers. And the jackal is just one aspect of this Anubis character from Egyptian mythology, a god, and a very important one, is that Anubis is born of Nephthys and Osiris. And Nephthys is the goddess of darkness. But Anubis is therefore connected to the lowest, the most infernal regions of the mind, and he is the bridge to the greatest enlightenment. And I love that as a symbol for our time.
It's a good one.
Excuse me?
I think it's a good one, and there are many different symbols that are popping up through different cultures than one at all. Excuse me, I think I interrupted you, and I didn't mean to.
No, yes, there are, and there are many aspects of the work that we're doing, and so it's, yes, and that's the beautiful thing about mythology, is that it's not limited to one image, as some of the major religions have tried to do, is that there are limitless numbers of images that reflect what is going on within our psyche and our soul.
You have a paragraph in your book, and I'm just going to read a part of it, because I think it is important. This is how it reads: until we, the elders of our contemporary culture, can discover, experience, and prepare ourselves to open the way in our culture for the young, not only to experience the mysteries of the universe, but to be able to weave these mysteries into their daily lives, we will continue to lose far too many of them to mediocrity, addiction, violence, indifference, and fanaticism.
Yes.
That, to me, is an extremely powerful paragraph, because I believe that that is one of the greatest weaknesses, one of them, of our society, and that is that the mature elders, instead of honoring them, instead of utilizing their gifts of wisdom and their experience, we often throw them on the dust heap. And I think we're seeing a turnaround with that, because I think many people who are getting into their maturing years, they are living longer, but they are saying, I just don't want to be in a rocking chair sipping iced tea and watching the world go by. I want to be a part of it. And being able to work with the young, being able to impart your knowledge, your skill, and your wisdom, I think is part of what this book is about, too. This is your way of sharing with a younger generation, if you will, anyone that's willing to read the book, The Miracle of Death, that there is a lot to look forward to, that we do have to be responsible, though, about what we do. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And I loved working with young people. I taught in college for many, many years, and they were so open, and their minds were so able to look at other possibilities and experience dreams and visions and transformations. But, you know, the opener of the way is another title for Anubis, the jackal, and that is that, yes, I think that when we're older, I mean, finally, this is our harvest time, and we have so much experience and so much knowledge by the time we reach this age that, and sometimes I think it's taken me so long to grow up, you know, and I'm so glad to be this age that there's so much to give, and I think that many older people all over the world are simply giving their knowledge. And I'm especially concerned with young people because of all of those things I mentioned, the drugs, the fanaticism. I mean, if we could open a way to other dimensions and a deeper meaning, we wouldn't have so much of this problem. There's a quotation I also have in the book by the German poet Novalis in which he says, "Every person's life is a sacred text. And there's profound reason for being here for each one of us. And so much of that has been cut off into just a dead materialistic world that if we as elders can give back all of the distillation of knowledge that we've been able to achieve in our lifetime, it can be so helpful and so healing for those who are coming after us."
Oh, I agree. And I think that is the obligation of an individual. That's my bias.
Mm-hmm.
As we do mature, to find those avenues that will enable us to do that, whether it is teaching, whether it's volunteering, whatever it might be, it's necessary because there is a hunger. And I think that so many of the young people today, this is my observation, that they are bright, they are very alert, but
mm-hmm.
they are also so lonely because
mm-hmm.
they really want to hear what's gone on before them, but they want to have an understanding of how are they going to work through the challenges that are going to be facing them. And usually when you can stand on strong shoulders of people that have gone before you with their wisdom and understanding, you have a better way of surviving it. My guest today has been Betty Kovacs. Her book, a fascinating book, The Miracle of Death, is a book that is an enlightening book. It's an insightful book. She herself has had three members of her family that passed on, and in doing that one right after the other, it was quite a growing experience for her, and that's what she shared. Stanley Krippner, the professor of psychology of Soya Saybrick Graduate School, said this book describes nothing less than the very nature of existence and provides a remarkable blueprint for coping with the challenges posed by the 21st century. Betty, do you have a website people can go to?
Yes, I do. It's www.comlock.com. K-A-M-L-A-K.
Comlock.com. So her website is www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K. There is nothing but life. And then the title of the book is The Miracle of Death. Betty Kovacs is my guest. And, Betty, do you have one last thought you would like to share with my audience before we say goodbye?
Well, I think that if I tried to put it in a nutshell, I think that I would say that we are, as the ancients have said, we are the people we've been waiting for. This is perhaps the most crucial time in our evolution, and we are all here for a reason and a purpose. And we can discover it, and as my husband used to say, which I love so much, the optimist creates his world and then steps into it.
I like that one. Optimist creates his world and then steps into it.
It's good, isn't it?
Betty Kovacs, her website is comlock.com, and that is spelled K-A-M-L-A-K.com. This is a book. If you know of anyone that's dealing with grief or who is perhaps carrying a heavy burden because of loved ones that have moved on to the next experience, this is a good read. It will surprise you, and I think it will enlighten you in a wonderful, wonderful way. It'll touch your heart, it will touch your mind, it will touch your spirit. Betty, again, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We're getting ready to take a break, but we'll be back in just a minute. We've got more good things to share with you in this Hour of Mind Power. Donna Sebo here. Don't you go away. We're coming right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Inspirational and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and our telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do that. Here are the telephone numbers, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. U.S., it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for anyone else, it's 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the show, welcome. We are delighted to have you joining the BBS Radio family. And what I do is if you call in, I take your first name or your initial, then I'm happy to relate to you what I perceive intuitively. And after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything you desire. And I know I've had people say, Donna, are you available privately? Yes, I am. All you have to do is give me a call at my 800 number, which is 872-8852. Well, you're going to hear me this month and next talking about a wonderful, wonderful event that I am a participant in. I have been for years. It's the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. I am so excited about this. The reason I'm starting to talk about it now is that it's going to be going on the first 3 weeks of August. And we all know how summer just flies by. And this is an event if you're in the state of Washington, or even if you want to come in from out of state, it's a great event to attend. So it's the 4th and 5th of August, the 11th and 12th, and the 18th and 19th. Now, the hours for this event are from 10 in the morning until 6 in the evening, and it is magical. Why? Because when you drive into the parking lot, already you're going to have the feel that you're entering into a time zone of the past that is going to be absolutely wonderful and a lot of fun. Why? Because you're going to see all kinds of people dressed up in costumes. You're going to see the doorway to a castle that is going to, when you pass through it, take you to that time zone, and it'll transform your day and transform your life. By the way, while you're there, you can also get costumes if you want to be dressed up in the period yourself. There are people there that provide costumes. Now, let me tell you where it is. It's going to be at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. And again, the hours there are 10 a.m. and to 6 p.m. Go to their website, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This is a must-do with family, friends, neighbors. You'll find special prices available for groups. It is terrific. Don't miss it. Join me there. I'll have a booth, and I'll be interacting, and I get to dress up, too. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone number to call into is 877-876-5227 for the U.S. or Canada, 888-815-9756. And we have a caller on the line. Welcome to the show. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Your first
Hi. My name is Marvin. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Marvin. Where are you calling in from?
I'm from Tampa, Florida.
From Tampa. It's a delight having you on the show. Now, I think we've got a little bit of a time delay. Sometimes this happens with the telephones. So when I finish speaking, just take a deep breath so that we're sure that everything's transmitted, and then you go ahead and you start. But let me, Marvin, give you my impressions. First of all, I'm looking at what appears to be an irritation and inflammation in your back. And this comes up every once in a while. You don't always take care of what you need to take care of physically. And so I want you to listen and to be aware that when this irritation in your back starts developing, to make sure that you relax those muscles. If you know of someone who's a good masseuse, great. If you need to use hot or cold packs, whatever it takes. But I want you to tone your activity down so that the body has a chance to rest, relax, and recuperate. Also, Marvin, I'm seeing an issue of money. And as I'm watching the issue of money, I'm seeing also a bit of confusion because there is a side of you that says, I want X, Y, Z, and then there's another side of you that says, well, I'm really not all that concerned, but if I had it, wonderful, I can get by without it. And I want you to be at peace regarding the understanding of money. I want you to realize it is a tool of exchange. If you want to have that financial independence, just go ahead, set up a plan for yourself. Keep it as simple as possible, go for it, and you'll have the financial independence. It's the consistency, the savings, and looking at how you're going to utilize it effectively that brings the results that you want. There's no get-rich-quick scheme here. It's not going to happen, and you know that. But I also am aware of the fact that there are times you want to be a recluse, and so you're sort of caught between this thought and the other thought because you want to maintain that opportunity to have that seclusion, if you will. Well, there's no reason why you can't. You just need to look at what your priorities are and handle them accordingly. I really think you've got a hard-working year here. There is so much that you are having to do to take care of loose ends in your life. There are things that you're saying, I don't need these in my life anymore. I want to clean them up, clean them out, and put certain things in order. Take them one at a time, and you'll get it done. But you've got a lot going on in your life, and I don't see you having a heck of a lot of quiet time. So when you can schedule it in, do schedule it in. You'll be very glad you did. Do you have a question for me today?
No, all I have to say is a wow.
Now, why are you saying wow? Thank you for saying it. I feel good with that, but why?
You just put everything like it is. Like, you just read me really on the... You just got everything on the spot.
Uh-huh. So it took care of any question you might have had?
Well, spiritually, like, where do you see me going?
I believe that you're coming into an understanding that spirituality is not separate from practicality. And that has not been an easy one for you to transition into. And you've got a bit of a journey yet so that you'll totally understand it. But the spirituality is what is at all times, in all places, everywhere, period. So what I think I'd like to see you be aware of is that you want to become more cognizant and understanding about how to be feeling more in harmony with yourself and with things that are going on in your life, and that you're not going to be able to control everything. It's not possible. It just isn't. And this is a learning process. This is something that we have to evolve through. Did you have a chance to listen to my guest?
No, I'm actually the first time listening.
Ah, well, the lady I had on in the first half of the show, she had to go through a learning cycle like this as well. And this is a person that was very dedicated to understanding so many things, but life's lessons often bring the wisdom of what intellectually we often know into reality of living it, being it. And I think that's what's happening with you.
Okay.
So I don't want you to be too anxious about that. Just be true to yourself and be willing to learn And I think it'll all fall into place quite beautifully.
Career-wise, where do you see me going?
Well, with a career, it depends on what you're looking at. With a career, you're actually going to have four different phases to a career. What are you doing at this time?
Psychology.
What would you like to be involved with?
Psychology.
All right. Why are you choosing psychology?
Because I like learning about people.
And learning about yourself as well?
Yes.
Okay. If you will want to become a therapist or a counselor in this way, if you can approach your learning with psychology with the understanding that you're doing this more for yourself than for anyone else, you'll be way ahead of most people.
Okay.
But I don't think you will find your niche for about 10 to 12 years.
10 to 12 years, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There'll be four phases to what you develop.
Okay.
And Marvin, I want to thank you. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to go there.
Okay.
But I want to thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the show.
All right.
Okay, Marvin.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, as Marvin just did, here are the toll-free numbers, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, U.S. Canada, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have another line that's open, 530-876-3222. Now, I wanted to let you know what's coming up in future shows. Tomorrow it's going to be an open mic day. I've got a lot of little odds and ends that I'd love to share with you. So that means from the very beginning of the program until it's in, the telephone lines will be open. So it's open mic tomorrow. And then next week we have so many fun things. One, we're going to be talking to Marcia Smart on Monday. We're going to be talking about how you can decorate by instinct. I don't know about you, but when the sun comes out and it's just beautiful weather, you can open up the windows, you can get out the paint buckets, and if you want to redecorate, this is a great time to do it because it's so bright and wonderfully warm outside. Well, Marcia's got a lot of good ideas to share with us. Also, we're going to be talking on Tuesday about living the blessed life. Lisa Horusky Marcus is going to be our guest. She's got some wonderful insights to share. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Ayurvedic. Yes, Dr. Amrita Sondhi is going to be educating us about that particular system of understanding nutrition, et cetera. And then we're going to be talking about secrets in the field. This is all about crop circles. Fascinating stuff. Reddy Silva is going to be my guest next week. And then we'll be talking also about acupressure, acupuncture, with Dr. John Sherman. So what a lineup we've got next week. We don't want you to miss any of it, so tell your friends. And also remember, we have archives that you can go to. If you happen to miss it, if you have to work or something like that, you can always get those archives. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Thank you. First name is Marilyn, and I'm calling from Illinois.
From Illinois. Marilyn, where are you calling from in Illinois?
Champaign.
Champagne. Oh, I like champagne. I know that's not the kind of... I just think it's wonderful. Okay, now, Marilyn, I want to let you know, we'll be going to break in about a minute and a half, so if I cut you off, it's not to be rude, we'll just put you on hold and then we'll come back, okay?
Okay, yes.
All right. Now, Marilyn, you have got some people in your environment that just look upon you almost like a Mother Teresa. They really want you to solve their problems. They really want you to give them the best of what you've got. And this has been the story of your life ever since you can remember. People have always wanted to come to you for insights. This is just a natural part of you. And what I want to say is, well, there are two people that are really going to want to have a great deal of your time, effort, and energy. And if you find yourself getting agitated because they are not inclined to listen, I want you to be able to detach and gently back away. Instead of giving them answers, ask them questions. What would they do? What do they think they should do? Now, one young woman is going to get rather irritated with you, saying, if I had the answers to those questions, I wouldn't be asking you. And you need to just very, very quietly smile and say, I'm afraid I don't have the answers for you. This is a do-it-yourself trip, and you are going to have to figure out how to open your own doors. And in a way, you're going to wonder if maybe that's the right thing or wrong, you know, it's the wrong thing to do. But I really feel that what's happening here is that you're cutting what I'd call apron strings. And this is a process that you're getting better and better at doing. You are enabling yourself to detach. And one of the reasons this is so important is that I am seeing you making a determination of turning around and saying, I am going to do for me what I have wanted to do for over 15 years. There's a level of education, training, involvement with a whole new circle of people. It's really going to be great. Now, Marilyn, we have to go to break. Will you stay with us, dear? Marilyn?
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. We've got Marilyn on the line, and I want to let you know our phone number is 877-876-5227 for the U.S. and for Canada, 888-815-9756. Marilyn, are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, there. I want you to be aware, and I don't know if you were able to hear this, but I want you to be aware that everything that you have been desiring and sort of dreaming about relative to the changes you want in your life are actually going to be coming into positioning for you. You're going to be able to achieve it. And I'm seeing something with education, with specialized training, and I'm looking at you saying, this is my time. And if you're willing to commit that time, and you go ahead and you do it, regardless of what anybody else may think about it, they may think you're being totally selfish, and you are, and you should be, because after you finish with what you're wanting to do for yourself, you are going to be able to help so many people that it's just going to be a joy for you. So this is the time for you to start detaching so that you can put the investment into yourself. I don't care what it is you'd want to do. It could be learning how to bake better chocolate cakes for all I care. It doesn't make any difference. You want to step out of what you feel is a position of mediocrity. And I want to say,
oh, yes,
go for it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. And if somebody calls you selfish, say, thank you. That's the nicest compliment I've had in years. What's your question for me today?
Well, it's regarding the common question of finance and career.
All right. What's your concern there?
Specifically, I am... how do I phrase it succinctly? I'm stuck.
No, you're not. You're not stuck.
I feel stuck.
Well, it's good. I'm glad you feel stuck, because without feeling stuck, you wouldn't be willing to change. So that's not a negative, hon. It's a motivation for you, all right? And that's positive. So think of it differently. What is it that you're looking at with career and finances? Where would you like to see yourself?
I want more freedom.
All right. What is freedom to you?
Well, freedom is not being tied down to a job that requires so much energy and time.
All right.
And money, I guess. And, you know, not to buy things specifically, but for the freedom that it offers.
Well,
and freedom, and, you know, the typical...
All right. Let's stop right there, because first of all, there's a contradiction in yourself. You're feeling badly about desiring more money and being able to buy things, whether it's clothing, food, or anything. Don't worry about that. That's
well,
not being
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm not really worried about that. I was trying to express myself, like, where I'm coming from is, like, money, I want to travel, I want more adventure.
Okay, and that, okay, now we're getting down to the basis, and that is very, very good. So when you use the word freedom, and you define what it is, you want to be financially independent, so that if you want to spend $5,000 to go to Italy to explore Venetian glass or to go scuba diving, you can do it. And this is wonderful. That is a very good objective. What is it with career? Where would you like to see yourself?
I'd like to, I've always wanted to write a book.
Okay. Let's start with some education here. Do you have a degree?
Yes, I do.
What's your degree in?
In health education.
All right. You want to write. Is it fiction or nonfiction?
More journalistic. Nonfiction.
Wonderful. What I would like for you to consider doing is going and signing up for some writing classes. It's going to sound corny, but just go ahead and do it. What you want to do is put yourself into an environment that is going to bring you in touch with people that have the same interest area. You need to be around creative people, and you can make a good living doing the writing. What it will take is your being comfortable with the shift and the opportunity of transition into that environment. So I think your job is taking a lot of energy out of you at this time because you're frustrated with it, because you're frustrated with where you think you are stuck. So let's take that energy instead of being frustrated with where you think you are stuck and realize you can get unstuck very quickly, but it's going to take an investment on your part into bringing yourself into environments that are compatible with where you would really like to be. If you already have a degree, then this could just be an addition. Is yours a bachelor's or master's?
Just a bachelor's.
A bachelor's. Well, and what was it in?
Health education.
Health education. You already mentioned
that.
Sorry, it just blew right out of my head. So you've got health education. Well, you could go ahead and start aiming for a master's degree and making a combination with writing and journalistic reporting, if you will, and it could be related to the health field, and this would be a great way for you to get started.
Okay,
and it would be wonderful, wonderful leverage for you. And the only reason I make that suggestion to you, that's not the absolute, I'm just making the suggestion. I want you to start thinking outside the box. That's why you're feeling stuck. And this is your period to invest in yourself, like I said in the beginning. And my goodness, my dear, you're going to have such a sense of joy. There'll be frustrating moments, but you'll be really happy when you do that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Donna. I enjoy your show.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Can I say one other thing?
Sure, quickly.
I'm relatively new to BBS, but I have to say I also respect and appreciate your organization skills as far as presenting, you know, what your guests and if you go to show info, you're right on it. You're on the spot. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you very, very much. We appreciate your comments, and we're always interested in them. If you have any comments at any time, just hit that comment button on BBS and let us know what you think.
Okay, thanks again.
You're welcome, Marilyn. You have a wonderful life, and get busy and invest in yourself, hon. You're worth it.
Okay.
This is Donna Sebo. My goodness, we are out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your faith. You are the captain of your soul. Remember, you are a miracle. You have got something so exceptional inside of you, and you're the only one that can make it work for you. You are the miracle. That's really something to think about, isn't it? We'll talk with you tomorrow. Tomorrow's open mic. This is Donna. Bye for now. God bless.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
You feel so cold.